Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan, and I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, it's Chuck Bonnell at Julie Hayden. Happy Martin Luther King Day. It's a True Straight Up with Chuck and Julie, brought to you by...
Uh-oh, they're calling, Chuck.
Brought
to you by Denver Cytogenics with Dr. Julie McCallan and also America's Citizen Press. Hey, want to tell the folks who usually listen to us on Facebook Live, our show has been put in Facebook jail until the 23rd. So we'll repost it after the show, but they're just not letting us live stream it.
Not because of us, actually.
Because our BBS guys, we're all co-conspirators there together. The Rebel Alliance, not co-conspirators, we're all in the Rebel Alliance. I'm in Facebook jail till the 23rd, so we'll have it figured out for the 20th. And in the meantime, I'll repost it. But I always like to remind folks, really and truly, one of the easiest ways to listen to us is just go to chuckandjulie.com. That'll link you right to every place you want to go. And as always, if you miss any of them, you can get the link at chuckandjulie.com. But let me run down the list. Very hard to remember. Chuck and Julie, everything. We're Chuck and Julie on Podbean, Apple, iHeart, all of that, Spotify, Google, you name it. We're on there at Chuck and Julie. We were on Parler at Chuck and Julie. It looks like Parler may come back. The Parler CEO, they found it. And so just, you know, if it's not up there today, we will get it up there hopefully by the end of the day, and if not, by tomorrow. But again, ever any trouble, just listen to us at chuckandjulie.com. We love to have you log in through BBS, and then you can go on through Zoom too. And if you don't want to do that, you can always just go to zoom.us. That's zoom.us, and our meeting number is 209-576-423. That's 209-576-423. Sandra very much is saying, hey, she listened to our podcast recently because she couldn't listen live. Absolutely fantastic. Thank you. And through BBS Radio. So thank you to everybody out there. You know, and talking to the show today, people may have noticed that Chuck and I have different personalities. Chuck is a cheerful, optimistic one, always looking on the bright side of the rainbow. And I'm just dark. No, just I'm the kind of person who, and this is, I really am, and I know it can be sometimes annoying. It's like the proverbial, you know, the pile of manure, and I would be sorting through it saying, oh my God, I'm so excited. I know there's a pony in there somewhere.
There's a key to method or madness, which you find watching television football games. who's ever at the lead at the end of the game, that's who she was for. She can go back and forth and back and forth, but whoever the winner is at the end, she's happy because that's her team. And that way it's always her team, because at the end it was she's happy it was a tie.
There are some teams periodically through life, not the Broncos anymore, the Chicago Cubs, I would actually be sad if they lose, but Chuck's absolutely right. And so I've never understood people who are sad at the end of football games. I'm like, but my team won. And Chuck said, but you changed teams 50
times.
But so because one of the things we want to do is not just be dour, crabby, frowny face. Oh, my God, everything sucks. It's bad, blah, blah, blah. Chuck is like, well, we want to be optimistic. And I'm like, well, there's a lot to be optimistic for. And Chuck's like, no, there's not. But there is. And we're going to kind of talk.
No, there is. But I'm tired of the constant negativity. And I'm kind of, you know, I'm a half glass full person. But I don't want to hear about one more person, what they're going to do to Trump people. I want solutions. I want, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. I don't know the endless wailing and caterwauling that you get on Breitbart. For I used to love Breitbart, and I can't barely turn the site on these days. And, of course, Fox is Fox.
Coming back, but we'll see. But here's
No, they're not coming.
And want to let you guys, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. And always, one at a time, if you're on Zoom and you want to just unmute yourself and pop your camera open, feel free to do this. So pretty much open lines today. But here are a couple reasons to be optimistic. Because to me, a big thing that we got to figure out is what is Trump going to do? Because like you said, the solutions largely depend on that. But this was just like a couple hours ago, Matt Gaetz was tweeting on President Trump's future. I suspect he's going to try to shape the Republican Party in his image more and more. And I think he'll be on the campaign trail often because he likes it. Earlier, I saw today Donald Trump Jr. tweeting that the Trump campaign store is back up. So I ask you, I don't know if Matt Gaetz has any inside information or inside track on Donald Trump, but I don't know why, if you're Donald Trump, you're going through all the hassle of putting back up and the expense, because I'm sure it's not free, of putting back up on a different server, one that won't, that you're not vulnerable on, your campaign store, if you don't intend to campaign. to me, that's the most hopeful thing, because again, you know, the MAGA movement is a movement. Donald Trump became the leader of it, but he didn't create it. It was there, and he became its presidential candidate and then its president. And I think we got to remember about all the things he delivered on that, whether people like Donald Trump or not, made this country great again. Joe Biden, on his first day, wants to undo a lot of that. And now, again, this is there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Chuckers like, oh, that's depressing. I'm like, no, that's positive, because people are going to see, you know, Biden's going to try to blame Trump forever, but people are going to be looking to Biden for solutions. And he doesn't have any except to make things more miserable. And I can go through those in a second. But I also think one of the reasons for optimism, and we're just going to briefly talk about the censorship, and then Chuck, you can be more optimistic than me. But we now know one of the ways that you can begin finding solutions to a situation is to have a very clear understanding of what the situation is. So we know now, right? We know that who the fake MAGA people are. We know the Decepticons. As you said, which side are you on? That's where we are right now, guys. There is no, oh, I'm in the middle. Because you know what? If you're in the middle, then you're on their side. You're either on the MAGA side or you're on the other side. You can be in the middle if you want, but that does, but then you're
there
not.
There is no middle.
Right. You're not on our side.
You're just trying to fool
and we know that. So who do we know is against us, no matter what they label themselves or call themselves? Anybody who voted to impeach Donald Trump, anyone who supports impeaching Donald Trump, is not on our side. They're on the other side. So we don't have to worry about him anymore in terms of, you know, listening to them. People who are also not on our side, the people who say, listen to the science, right? Those people are not on our side. The people who want to keep the government locked down.
Not that listening to the science is bad. They don't listen to the science.
Exactly.
They listen to their own perverted view of the science, and they say, well, you're not listening to my science.
And this is, and Sandra, this is, you're absolutely right here on this point. This is another reason to be optimistic. Sandra is typing, I believe there are many closet MAGA people out there. I agree. They make it so ugly to be a MAGA person that you don't want to say it, but they're out there, and they're going to be taking a look at what the Democrats are doing to this country, and they're going to be like, whoa, they're going to start reaping what they sow. So the Decepticons have been revealed. So we know that, and we can.
I don't think totally they have been revealed, and they always have the problem. It's like having the Tea Party movement. I mean, it really was a grassroots one, quickly captured by the Koch brothers and others, Americans for Prosperity, who really want more immigration, want to destroy American industry, at least located in the United States. And so, you know, a lot of us get notices from the caucus room, and you kind of go, oh, great, a place for conservatives?
Yeah.
Is it for conservatives? So you say, well, who's behind the caucus room? You kind of, well, Alan Fuller is one of the co-founders. Alan Fuller, isn't that Bob Beaupre's son-in-law?
Hmm.
Yes, it is Bob Beaupre's son-in-law. In other words, Matt Neidler. Wait a minute. Wasn't Matt Neidler Phil Anschutz?
He's Anschutz's bag man.
Yeah, well, bag not man. Bag man, but
well, he's his liaison with the donors. I mean,
he was his attorney. Okay. And so you go, well, really? They're going to control who's a conservative and not a conservative? And they both all appeared on Colorado Politics, another Anschutz one, telling it, you know, how wonderful.
I mean, this is true straight up, guys. And just so you know, we get pressure for this. People do not like us talking about it. People do not like being revealed as Decepticons. But anyone, here's another list, and you can see this in some of the caucus room stuff in Colorado Politics. Anybody who says the election, there were no problems with the election, I don't care what they label themselves, Democrat, swamp, Republican, whatever, they are not on our side. Anyone who says, no, the election was absolutely fair. It wasn't rigged. There was no fraud. they're not on our side. So they have revealed themselves, and we know that now. So, I'm sorry. We've got, and we'll get into this more as time goes on, but we've got a Colorado Republican Party chairperson and officer race coming up. I'm going to tell you what, anybody who says, who's running for any kind of state office, who says the election was just fine, they're not on our side. They're not a Make America Great Again.
Well, they're
person.
Not being truthful because it wasn't. And right. how they rigged it, I can go through how you do it. It's not hard, except Republicans on that, the side of they just want to be, part of the establishment won't tell you. So they kind of go, how did we lose 2018, and we were with a candidate who lost 16 points from 2016 to 2018. You go, how did that happen? Well, there's a reason why it happened, how it happened, and you can get down to it. But it's not about you have to have better candidates. Better candidates, George Brockler was a great candidate for attorney general. And whether some of the others are great or bad, certainly the people who ran in their against them were awful. Didn't matter. They won overwhelmingly. And so and as far as I'm concerned, I'm not so much a Trump supporter as I am a great America, make America great again. I mean, Trump has his positives. He's the only one to be willing to do it. So you admire him for his bravery and learned so much now.
Can you imagine what it must be like to be Donald Trump? I mean, I don't know how the guy doesn't just, I don't know. I would just say, I'm going to just be on the golf course for the next 4 years. Don't anyone bother me or call me. But I think, though, back to my original point, and that is that there is reason to be optimistic there, because now we can totally identify the situation. Now we can totally identify a majority of the people. People have revealed themselves. Anyone who tells you it was Trump's fault that we lost the election, anyone who tells you the election was fair, anyone who tells you that masks work and the lockdowns are necessary, anyone who tells you, that we need to be censored and that, that we shouldn't be talking like this, they are not on our side. Now, God bless them. They can go be on their side. And that's the way this country is supposed to work. But we need to be aware they are not on our side. We need to continue to root them out and expose them. And I'm going to tell you what, guys, they're not going to like it. They're not going to like it. It's kind of like, you lift up the rock and you see all those squirmy things and they go scurrying for cover. And then if you lift up the next rock and say, no, look, they're still there. And then the next rock and the next rock.
Well, we got Ben who has brought himself up. Ben, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. I just wanted to chime in. I think Julie stole the thunder there because I was just going to say that's the best thing that's happened is that we now know exactly who it is that are these never Trumpsters. I just saw an interview over the weekend with Karl Rove. Karl Rove, was indicating that, yes, there is a civil war that's going on within the Republican Party, and that he's calling for a return of the old Republican Party.
Oh, go for it. Good. Yeah. That's
right. And that's like, no, this guy just doesn't get it at all. These are the type of people that we need to recognize, identify, and jettison from this party.
Right.
You have to get rid of them. If it's just a matter of them staying a Republican, they have to be identified as a Republican, but not in good standing with the
with an asterisk by their name or something.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what we have to do. So that's my two cents.
All right. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Ben. Good to talk to you. Everybody else, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. If you ever want to join us on Zoom, that number is 209-576-423. Sandra saying absolutely correct, Ben. And thank you, Chuck and Julie. And Ben, we need this information. I want to talk about something else that's good. And I'm going to play a little soundbite. This is the kind of thing that if you were to have asked me a year ago, even I would have said this is not possible. In the United States, we would not be seeing this kind of thing. And I'm talking about the censorship. We're seeing people who are at the Trump rally losing jobs, not getting their jobs back. We're seeing people who have spoken out and said the election wasn't fair, getting banned from social media things, getting harassed. We've seen people openly calling, Forbes magazine, right? Saying that if somebody worked, is it Forbes? If they work for the Trump campaign, we need to make sure they never work anywhere again. And they're doing that to silence us, right? They're doing that to make sure that we shut up and sit down and say, what is it? 2 + 2 = 5, Winston, say it from 1984, 2 + 2 = 5. And he keeps saying, I can't because it's not 5. And then they make make it harder and harder and harder on him. Then he goes to, I don't know. I mean, that's what's going to happen. So Thomas, if we, but the other, I guess over the weekend on CNN, a guy who used to be, what's his name?
Former Facebook executive.
Alex Stamos, who used to be a Facebook executive. He just kind of flat out said, we need to ban not just them. We need to take people off of cable TV. We need to totally control the messaging. So Thomas, if we could play the CNN censor video.
Partially that, you know, ISIS did not have a domestic constituency in the United States Congress, but there is over half of the Republicans in Congress voted to overturn the election. And there will be a continual political pressure on the companies to not take it seriously. So I think first, you have to focus on those violent extremists, and those companies have to be brave in that way. And second, we have to turn down the capability of these conservative influencers to reach these huge audiences. There are people on YouTube, for example, that have a larger larger audience than daytime CNN. And they are extremely radical and pushing extremely radical views. And so it's up to the Facebooks and YouTubes in particular to think about whether or not they want to be effectively cable networks for disinformation. And then we're going to have to figure out the OANN and Newsmax problem. You know, that these companies have freedom of speech, but I'm not sure we need Verizon, AT&T, Comcast and such to be bringing them into tens of millions of homes. This is, you know, allowing people to seek out information if they really want to, but not pushing it into their faces, I think is where we're going to have to go here.
Now, that is scary. He says that they have freedom of speech, but what we want to do is remove your ability to use freedom of speech, to actually express your freedom.
Julie and I had a debate about this earlier. I'm tired of giving a platform to a nobody, which is I used to be an executive at Facebook. Well, Facebook had millions of executives. Who the hell do we care what this guy thinks?
Right.
And the guy on the other side of pork guy was Trump's head of security for the election. and so it's just unbelievable how many times Trump has been betrayed by people. But that guy was, and of course we find out today in an article that Barr stopped anything against the rioting before and using the Insurrection
right.
Act. He stopped the pardon of Snowden and called any election challenges bull blank. And so it's sort of, we've got to find positive voices. You can find former CEOs or executives of Facebook, but we've got to find people like Josh Hawley
this out. This is another positive.
Yeah, well, he got his book. Simon Schuster said they couldn't publish his book. So Gregory Press is going to publish it. Now, that's Gregory Press is owned by Salem, and they're not always the most courageous, but apparently they thought this would bring in some good money. So you have that. And that's what we got to find. We have to find a brand new media. And I think Donald Trump has to head that media with all his problems because we don't need another caucus room that tells you that we're the conservative voice, but we're really just, you know.
And the election was just fine, guys, by the way.
Yeah, it's just
censorship is okay.
Censorship okay and everything else. And, there are only certain kinds of conservatives that want to be on caucus room. But they've got the money behind them. It costs a lot of money to set that up. And certainly Alan Fuller doesn't have money. And certainly Needler doesn't have any money, and not that kind of money. So it's set up by the usuals in the Republican Party, the Karl Rove Republicans. And we've got to find some people who really claim to be conservative and are actually for, you know, limited immigration, helping American workers, helping American manufacturers, and the whole plethora, lower taxes, lower regulation, but not just lower taxes for the big corporations, but spread out. We need a worker-based Republican Party. But let's go to Barney on line two. Barney, how you doing on this Martin Luther King Day?
Hey, Chuck. Hey, Julie. You just, now I got to say something about Martin Luther King. You got to give the guy his credit. He get up in the morning, he get his teeth kicked in, didn't know whether he was going to live or die, and he walked the walk. You got to love that guy.
He also had, let's put the other part of the walking the walk, and I agree he was a courageous person, and, you know, Letters from the Birmingham Jail is wonderful reading, but he's also, like all of us, his feet of clay. He plagiarized his doctorate.
Kamala Harris wrote it.
Yeah, Kamala Harris wrote it. She couldn't. She would have to plagiarize also. Yeah, he also loved going to orgies, was laughing in a room next to a room where a friend was raping somebody. So to make him just the perfect person, I'm afraid he probably didn't qualify.
Well, and here's the thing. Nobody does, right? I mean, that's the thing with this, the redoing history is all you do is talk about all the bad on one side and none of the good, and then all the good on one side and none of the bad. The reason it's important to have that perspective is you realize we're all human, and there's good and bad in everybody, and it's going to just be what you focus on. But Barney, let you get to your point.
No, but you could take his generation, and you could say, yeah, he was a perv. But you could also look at my dad's generation, and it was all okay for them to have girlfriends and still be married. I mean, so it was a different.
And what is wrong with that, Barney? Are you criticizing that?
I know. She's going to pull that 12-gauge out and take care of your, and by the way, a great big F word, hell yeah, to Ben, and to you too, Chuck. I say no more negative, but by the way, the guy at CNN, one line of negative. I'd like to see that bald-headed puke have his head made into a canoe, just like Wyatt Earp said. Can't stand, I read that on Telegraph. What a crock. The bald-head, the one that you played the clip of. And I would say to these poor, stupid, dumb SOBs, the conservatives you have to worry about are not going to run down to the Capitol with their rifles, I'm pretty sure.
No.
You guys are just stupid. They want it to happen. It's not going to happen. And you know what? I'm with you, Chuck. Let's take over the Republican Party. These squishy, these spineless jellyfish, you know, look at how quick Lindsey Graham has turned into right back what he used to be. He never did change. He just had to get reelected. And so let's get rid of them all. You know what? We can't start a new party. We're going to take this party over. And you know what? We don't like you killing babies. We like our guns. So, yeah, let's just take it over. And, you know, shut them. You know, I agree, no negative, but shut them up. Cut them off at the knees. You know, don't let them run their mouths. They're mealy mouth, you know, crapola, and that's most of the Senate. So, yep, take it over. Let's be positive and happy. But we've got 2 years of crap sandwiches coming up. I can tell you that. We better get used to that because we're going to be
a lot
of crap for the next 3 years.
And you know, and kind of a little bit unlike Chuck, that's what I was saying. It's like being realistic isn't being negative. I think it's important that we say, hey, look, this is what they're saying, and we can't fool ourselves anymore. And like you said, it's going to be a rugged 2 years here. And because what
you need to find, but
Julie, Chuck is right.
Yeah.
Is that we're going to get sick. If you get me ranting every day that I want to go bust rhinos in the face, nobody wants to hear that crap. He's right.
Plus a week or so. Because here, this is from Ben and Sandra, just so you know. Barney always says things the way I wish I could. They love you. So, hey, Barney, thank you for calling.
You got a couple of crazies. Love you guys.
All right. Okay. Here's some other reasons, though. I think it's going to be, I agree with Barney. That's going to be 2 years of sort of crap sandwich. It's going to be tough.
Well, it can't be all crap sandwich.
No, it can't be all.
You've got to find your heroes. And Lauren Boebert is one, and they want to crush her. Article, all you ever see on Colorado politics and
Denver
Post and Colorado Sun, you know, it's always negative. Lauren, somebody quit Lauren's office. Wow, that's unique.
They were in a swamp.
Well, they're not swampy. You know, you go to Washington, you don't have a group together. So somebody goes, I think Bob would be great. You hire Bob, and he doesn't like your message, so he quits.
I suspect the Lauren, but we're talking about over the weekend, Lauren Boebert's communications director quit, and by the way, was very public.
Another article about some intern, some Trump supporting intern quit. So they're all just kind of going, you know, every new person to Washington goes through a lot of people till they find people they
here's my suspicion, because I'm way down the rabbit hole anymore on conspiracy theories, because they all turn out to be true. I suspect that somebody like Liz Cheney recommended that person to Lauren Boebert. And as you said, she didn't know. She's new to Washington. You need a communications person who knows the way around. But that person knew who Lauren Boebert was. That person knew what Lauren Boebert board stood for. I suspect that person signed up specifically so they could then turn around and quit.
That person has not come out. He's refused to answer lots of other things. It's just a normal thing, but they make everything sound like it's some huge crisis.
And she's sticking to her guns. Yeah. So she is a hero. I don't know, Donald Trump, some free advice to you. I hope you run again in 2024. And I'm just saying, Lauren Boebert, I think she'd make a great vice presidential candidate. Yeah, she'd probably be like, oh, don't say that, Julie. But I think she would.
What the hell with the Colorado Bar Association having Jason Crow speak?
Yeah.
The Colorado Bar Association is far left. I'm surprised they didn't have BLM activists speaking. That's what they're about.
And
every institution, I mean, I don't care what it is. The left has infiltrated and taken over. I mean, Southern Baptists, you know, they're all just liberal. And it's just, they just worm their way in, take over, and it's amazing.
Here's the tricky thing about it that people need to start realizing. That's what we're true straight up. Here's why, in part, the Colorado Bar Association likes Democrats. Number one, they like them because they want all the prison reform, let everybody out of prison. That's what the defense lawyers want. But the other thing they want is they just want the party in power so they can do things that screw people. They want to do things that make it so that you can't sue somebody if your house is built poorly, right? They want it so that that you can sue somebody rather than give the contractor the opportunity to fix it. Like, nope, go straight to the lawsuit.
Trial lawyers are almost all Democrats. I mean,
well, and why is that? It's because the money is there.
Financial interest to do so,
right?
But it's you know, they take over the institutions and Fox. I mean, you know, they had an incredibly successful formula. So first they fire Roger Ailes. And then they sit around, you know, hiring the Brett Baiers and the Martha McCallums and Shepard Smiths. And you just go down the line. And pretty soon, they're congratulating Chris Wallace and doing a TAC moderator. And they're congratulating, you have Catherine Murdoch going, we did it. We did what? You destroyed your station.
But he's come back in. They're making some switches there, I think.
Don't believe it for one second.
Why they got rid of Dana Perino. They booted her way down.
So?
Okay.
They're going to put somebody
else
in there.
You think they're trying to trick us?
Well, they're always going to. Is there somebody who's a big MAGA supporter who's going to be appointed? They're going to have Ben Rhodes' brother take over Fox News.
Okay.
You think Ben Rhodes' brother is going to bring in the age of, you know.
All right, so don't buy it. Stick to Newsmax and OANN.
Yeah,
here's some other things, though, that I wanted to talk about that, yes, I think it's going to be tricky for bad for us. But I think when I say bad for us, it's not going to just be bad for Republicans. It's going to be bad for the country the next couple of years. And then the Biden administration, right now, everything's blame it on Trump, blame it on Trump, blame it on Trump. And we were kind of disagreeing about this earlier. I think what's going to pretty soon start to happen, starting, you know, Thursday morning, is that all of these problems, yeah, they can still blame it on Trump, but there are people in the country that are going to be looking to Biden for solutions. They're going to get tired of hearing it's Trump's fault.
Well, as long as they can run crooked elections, what difference does it make?
Well, all right, that's right, Chuck. You're the one who said be optimistic. So,
well, that wasn't optimistic.
All right. But I think one of the things that we've got fomenting right now that's going to be a massive issue is you've got all these. Have you seen the pictures of people coming from Honduras through Guatemala? They're fighting with the soldiers. How long do you think it's going to take before Guatemala says, okay, here, we're going to put you on a bus to the border? What a nightmare that is going to be.
They'd be happy with that.
And even
nightmare.
Joe Biden is saying, don't come all at once. Don't come all at once. They're going to put people on cages. I mean, that's going to be a nightmare that is going to have to deal with.
Come up with positive things.
One of the other things, too, though, I think that's positive about the censorship is that it is forcing us to be smart and to go to other places. I think, like I mentioned, I talked to our SEO guy, and we're switching over. It won't make any difference to you guys, but we're switching servers. Donald Trump Jr., the fact that they're back up, they've got a credit card processing company, they've got a website, they've got a server. They are out there. Parler has signed up a deal, apparently, with Epic, which is a non-Amazon server. So that's their, Gab.com, they still have their issues. But I mean, there are places out there, and we know now, don't be fooled, don't be trusted, don't even go down that road. Another thing I think that's going to come back to bite Biden quickly, obviously, is the economy. They're already switching. You notice how they're saying, follow the science, and the Babylon Bee is like, follow the science that Florida's been following. So, I'm sorry, I'm just, if I have to drink, follow the science that Florida's been following since May. All of a sudden, we can reopen. All of a sudden, we can do this. Joe Biden, I was reading a tweet. Joe Biden says, I know that wearing a mask has become partisan, but do it as a patriot. It's a patriotic act, and it will save 50,000 lives. Well, that's incredibly stupid. Either it's a medical necessity or it's a patriotic act. But you can't.
Well, it could be both.
Well, but he's portraying it as don't do it because of the medicine, which he knows no one believes. He's saying do it as a patriotic act. Well, why is it patriotic to wear a mask? Joe, explain that to me.
Well, Joe, I mean, I don't know if you've been watching. You can go. In fact, we ought to do it next time. We'll show you some if you haven't seen them. But Joe finishing up his remarks and literally not knowing where exactly he is, what door to go out, where to be. I mean, it's just he's so befuddled and befused. And now we're watching the inauguration from hell. I mean, normally inaugurations are celebrations of events of a new administration coming in. And the new administration feels it has to hire huge amount of National Guardsmen who are all being interviewed by our FBI to make sure they're trustworthy.
Yeah, then you have Congress people saying, oh, we can't trust the National Guard people. They hate us. I mean, you would think that a bunch of people in Congress would say to themselves, why do we have to protect? We have like 20,000 troops here to protect us from our constituents. It's like maybe our constituents don't like us. And I wonder why that is. And maybe we should address that. Now they're talking about putting a permanent fence up around the Capitol grounds and to protect them in the White House, to protect them from their constituents. You would think that somebody in there would say, God, Chuck, have you noticed that people hate us? I mean, how the polls show that? They're trying to storm us here.
Polls don't show that. You can guarantee that. The polls will show Joe Biden is the most popular president.
Well, and these are the people who wanted to fund the police, right? I'm not sure. To be honest, I'm not sure what their end game is in this. I think it's just to continue to stir up fear and anxiety and angst. But pretty soon, they're not going to have Donald Trump to be stirring it all up anymore. It's like, who are you protecting yourself against?
Didn't you read 1984? 1984 is they make it up.
Well,
there's always the permanent enemy out there. There's always the Reichstag fire. There's always something to get you excited about. They don't need a real crisis, they can vent their own.
Well, as Ben is pointing out, Polis sent 200 National Guard troops. Where the hell was he when Antifa and BLM destroyed Denver? Oh, they wanted Denver destroyed. And they want this. I think they want to keep the country on end. But here's another thing, too, though, I think that's going to bad with the economy. The thing is I think they're going to be stuck between a rock and a hard place between the two factions of their party, because they made all of these promises, the Democrats did, to the giant corporate global elites in order to get Joe Biden elected. Let's go back to that. Remember, nobody liked Joe Biden. Joe Biden wasn't winning. Kamala Harris wasn't winning. They were incredibly unpopular. And that's why the big donor globalist big boy stepped in and said, we can't have Bernie Sanders. He's saying things we don't like, or Elizabeth Warren. So they shut it off, pushed them all aside, and they put in Joe Biden. And you know that they made promises to those giant global corporate elites. But you do have these other Bernie Sanders people who are like,
I don't care. They'll just.
You think they're going to trample them, though?
No. They'll just.
Think there's going to be a divide in their party?
I think there will, but it's going to take some time. It'll take at least a year. As the corporate elites try to buy off everybody on the Bernie Sanders side. And they've got the new $2 trillion stimulus, and this stimulus will not go out to average.
We're not going to get it. No, it's going to be like the Obama stimulus package, right? It's going to go to a bunch of non-government organizations and teachers' unions and things like that.
Yes, it will. Teachers have to be compensated for the year and a half vacation.
Well, and here's what's going on there, because you notice Biden, one of the first things he wants to do is get schools reopened. He knows that that is incredibly unpopular.
With
he
teachers,
knows
because they don't like to teach. They like to be down in Puerto Rico.
But I mean, schools being closed is incredibly unpopular. So he's got to get kids back in schools, but teachers don't want it. So I think
because they don't want to work.
That's going to be the payoff to them. They're going to be like, okay, you all go back to school, and
we'll delay it enough so it'll be summer. You'll have a year and a half, 2 years off, and then you may want to consider. Coming back.
There's going to be some kind of massive pay raise for teachers, or massive hazard duty, or things like that.
Yes, smaller classrooms.
The other thing I think is going to have problem with is this whole vaccine. Everybody, would not get the vaccine. Everybody, first, let me clarify, and I want to steer you all, and we'll have him on again, but it's pretty complicated. Michael Tao at redstate.com. He's an investigative columnist. He's done a lot of great work. I had not realized this. The vaccine is not really a vaccine. At least it's not a vaccine in the way we normally think of, a measles vaccine or a mumps vaccine. This does something. It inserts, and I won't get the science right, so I won't go too deep into it.
No.
But it changes your RNA. It inserts strands into your RNA. I'm like, wait, that's not a vaccine. And Michael Tao points out that number one, no one actually really knows how this works. They've never done it before. So the corporate pharmaceutical giants, here's what they're doing. On the one hand, they're getting a ton of money to pay for these vaccines that aren't really vaccines, and they're using us as human guinea pigs to see if it's going to work.
Not a bad idea.
Kind of like big tech, right? You got to pay to listen to Amazon Music so they can gather all the information on you and bundle it and sell it.
And Trump, as crazy as he is and as unstable he is at times, he's the one person who knows what his agenda was. And it was part, he just fumbled around and found it and part it. But he knows that I support American workers. So you don't have to worry about whether the caucus room supports American workers. You know, if it's done by Trump, you know, yeah. And they also believe in limited immigration, and they believe in the whole litany of ones. So that's why I think him coming out, you know, he'll have 74 million people. Now he can screw it up like everything else. But I think it's going to be, there's going to be, if he can get a channel, the people just end watching Fox.
And that's it. Sandra, you had said, you know, the guy we had from Freedom Watch, he was proposing citizen juries. You know, that's an idea, and I guess couldn't hurt.
Well,
I don't know how much.
He's a great guy and very interesting. I'm not sure that idea. We just set up your own grand jury over at your house.
And then you convene one. Guys, we'll have it on show.
We'll get that neighbor who we don't like and have him convicted before our court.
And anything else you guys don't like, we'll convict that too. We'll convict decaffeinated coffee. I don't know. I'm sorry if I'm like, why do we have decaffeinated coffee?
Yeah, what's the point?
Or low calorie ice cream. We don't need low calorie ice cream. That's what's the point of that. But at any rate, those are lesser issues that we'll solve after the first. But Sandra, I think the biggest thing that we need, And that's why we're kind of in this sort of waiting area, literally the waiting room, is we need Donald Trump. If Donald Trump says, yes, as Matt Gaetz is saying, I'm staying in the game. I'm going to run again, or at least if I'm not going to run again, I'm going to have my person run again. I almost think it'd have to be Donald Trump running again at the beginning. Then I think, and he gets his own platforms, that would automatically solve the biggest problem you have around social, trying to create your new social media thing, your new search engine, your new all of that. He would have an immediate 74 plus. And I think, Sandra, you're absolutely right. There are a lot more people out there than that, followers. He would have that. I mean, so it would be an overnight success.
Well, you know you can trust Donald Trump, because that was a real question. I doubted you could after his inauguration. And he waffled on things like the Paris Climate Accord and whether giving DACA free reign. But in the end, he kind of worked his way through and actually did what he's promised to do. Whether, you know, Lindsey Graham, you go, do you trust Lindsey Graham? Do you trust Mitch McConnell? Do you trust anybody in that group? Anybody, any establishment Republican, you know, inherently, I'm not sure why because Democrats don't want them. So they want to be part of the club, but just slightly outside and get all the bennies from it.
But hey, 888-627-6008, if you want to call in, 888-627-6008. I want to take a quick moment. And so call in. I want to take a quick moment. I think we might be live. So thank you to the guys at BBS. They're like, oh, we got you back up on Facebook somehow. But again, the best way to get us is through chuckandjulie.com. We're going to start sending out newsletters. We'd love to have you guys sign up for that. We'll send you links to the shows, Chuck's picks, the articles, sort of his must reads, and then columns and things that we're going to start writing too.
Golf tips as well.
And also, once again, thank our sponsor, americascitizenpress.com. And here's the thing. You know they're censoring stuff. If you just put in America's Citizen Press, it doesn't come up at all. You have to put it in, or even America's Citizen Press. You know, usually you can be a little bit off and the right thing will come up. Not this one. It's just like the Remembrance Project. Remember with Maria Espinoza. If you didn't type in rememberanceproject.org, you didn't find them. So this is the same way. America's Citizen Press. No apostrophe. There's an apostrophe in their real name. They're on Twitter, though, at citizenpress.com if you want to follow them there. Back to my thing with the vaccines, though. I think this is going to be tricky for the Biden people, because on the one hand, you've got them all saying, oh, everyone everyone needs to get a vaccine. On the other hand, though, every time you turn around, and they haven't started censoring this yet because I think they're not sure where it's going to come down. You've got a lot of people, some big guy in California was just saying, you know, I think we need to slow down this mass vaccination in order, like, oh, all these elderly people died after we vaccinated them.
Oh, well.
And in the meantime, you've got a lot of people, I know people in the healthcare industry, and they're not getting the vaccine. I've got another friend who is very been worried from the beginning about the whole coronavirus and hasn't really left her house except for essential things. She said, I'm not getting the vaccine. She said, at least I kind of know what the coronavirus is going to do to me. She said, I don't want to be one of the first people to take this vaccine. That I mean, so she's a bright woman. She gets it. She's like, I don't want to be one of the first persons to take this vaccine. And she raised a good point. She said, well, you don't know how long it lasts. Do you need one shot? Do you need two shots? Do you need three? She said, I don't trust the pharmaceutical companies to save my life.
You can trust your healthcare.
First responders. You can trust these giant pharmaceutical companies. And she said, and bottom line, we don't even really know that they're effective, not even to go into all their concerns about side effects.
Well, if you want to take it, take it. I mean, you know.
But what I mean, though, is I think they anticipated there would be this, hooray!
They don't know. They figure we can con everybody all the time now. I mean, mm-hmm. We've managed to push across the line with incredible fraudulent voting. A guy who didn't leave his basement to campaign.
And as Ben notes, the inauguration is no one is going and it's surrounded by, there's no one from the public, no citizens are there, and it's surrounded by thousands of troops, who, by the way, apparently also earlier today, they had to cancel everything for a while because this should make people stop and think. There was a giant fire that erupted at a homeless encampment. So it's like as safe as those guys are. And no danger there. So they had to rush everybody inside. I think, though, for these reasons, and we can keep talking to and more, I think it is the crap sandwich is not going to be just Republicans. The crap sandwich is going to be shoved down the throats of all kinds of Americans. And they're going to be like, bleh, you know, and I think they may. I think it's going to be perhaps even a better year in 2022. Like you said, the election, we got to deal with that. But a better year in 2022 than maybe you would otherwise anticipate, because I think the things that Biden is going to do are going to immediately, the economy is tanked because they tanked it. And that's not going to be an easy ship to turn around at all. And some of the things that Biden is doing are making it harder.
And they kept on telling you how great the Obama years were, how wonderful it was.
But people didn't buy. I mean, that's why Trump got elected, right? People were like, no, this isn't great. And I think what really hurts him is Obama tried to tell us it can't get any better than this. You know, you don't have a magic wand, Donald Trump. And lo and behold, Donald Trump didn't have a magic wand, but he had a bunch of really smart Make America First policies. And people get that. I mean, people, I think they had tried to beat us down and beat us down and beat us down into, no, this is as good as it gets. Your children aren't going to do better than you.
Move to China.
Yeah, you know, move to China. China controls
become
everything.
Part of the slave labor force there.
But people are like, hey, wait, no, just last year, things were great. Last year, we were having our best year ever. Last year this, last year that. And so I think that people are going to be harder to brainwash, maybe. And in the meantime, I hope... the only thing that I'll be depressed about is if Donald Trump does not. I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Oh, impeachment. Let's talk about that for a second.
They can do whatever they want. You know, it'll just be another distraction where Biden will be hiding in the basement again. And crazy Nancy Pelosi will be going around as a swirling dervish. I mean, it just doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. It's stupid. Impeach somebody.
Now, do you think? Well, I think here's from what I understand. Nancy Pelosi, number one, hasn't sent any word on to when she's going to do it. I think they're waiting. Number one, they don't want. I think it's unpopular. People, no matter what side of the aisle they're on, for the most part, people are like, "He's gone tomorrow. Why do we need to have this trial and waste time? We've got other things we care about."
Mark wants to know: is it true that Hanks is going to give the speech for Biden? I think he's going to give a speech. I'm not sure it's instead of Biden.
Yeah, you've seen there's a whole slew because they're doing kind of what they did at the convention. They've got a whole slew of Hollywood people doing stuff.
Because you can trust Hollywood.
Because you can trust Tom Hanks.
Garth Brooks is going to be giving a concert for Biden, so you can get excited.
Well, here's the thing. They're having to dig down. Some of these people, I'm like, who is that? Who? I mean, there haven't been any movies for a year, right? You're like, who is that? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Unless it's like Iron Man or somebody. And I don't know. I don't even think Democrats particularly care what they think. But back, though, I wanted to finish on impeachment. So my understanding of what they're trying to do, though, is they're not going to do it right away. They want to kind of hold it to see what Donald Trump is going to do.
Well, that makes sense.
Then they want to hold it over his head and say, okay, if he does announce he's going to run it again, then they're going to try to impeach him so he can't run again. But I don't think that's true either.
Well, it depends on what the chicken blank of the Supreme Court do. If they say, you can't just go around retroactively impeaching people.
So they can't run.
I mean, that'd be, but who knows? They can do whatever they want according to them. So they'll probably,
but I think
that.
That's going to be their strategy. I think they're just going to hold it back because again, it's very unpopular. I also think if you're Joe Biden, you don't want to spend your first 100 days talking about Donald Trump.
Well, you could spend it down in the basement asking your wife, Jill, where am I?
I think he does have some people, misguided people, but who have an agenda that they want to start implementing. All those businesses, right? The Chamber of Commerce is like, wait, we need our illegal alien workers here cheap. What are you guys doing? I don't want you to impeach Donald Trump. Who cares? But I think that's their strategy, to hold it over his head and then to try to say he can't run again now because we impeach him. But do you think, I don't think they would have the votes in the Senate to do that. I mean, they're already gathering signatures to get rid of Liz Cheney, which, I mean, they may or may not, but...
Well, she's not in the Senate, but...
But I mean, though, it's not a popular...
You can't get rid of Liz Cheney with a petition. As a practical matter, are there 17 Republican votes to impeach Trump? I don't know. You know, we know some of them will. You know, Ben Sasse would be happy to.
Mitt Romney.
Our wonderful presidential nominee in 2012. So who knows? Let them, you know, but I want to waste my time on that. I want to waste my time, you know, looking for this new way of communicating, because being able to communicate is everything. Being able to get together is everything. And I don't want to be controlled by the Never Trumpers and others. So it's going to be interesting. Trump doesn't think small, and more of this is just right down his alley. I mean, as a personality before he ran for president, basically what he did is endorse things. He'd have vodkas, he'd have meats, he'd have hotels that he had no interest in that he would put his name out in front and stuff. So I think he knows how to do that. And so it's going to be interesting.
No, you're right. This is that kind of thing. And please, like you keep saying, please God, let him do it. That kind of thing is right up Trump's alley. I mean, he, more than any politician, even more than AOC, we've seen before, both before his election, before he started running and after, understands how to use and manipulate, frankly, mass media. And he gets it.
He's going to have his own mass media.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I mean, he understands, a guy understands how to make an entrance. He understands the pop and circumstances that work and that don't work. I mean, I'm sorry, Joe Biden, did you look at the ratings for the convention? A stupid Hollywood actor standing in a chair or standing on an empty stage who no one has actually particularly heard of before and hasn't been in a new movie in, since God knows when.
Who?
Well, I mean, so you look at some of the people he's got doing stuff for him. I'm like, I mean, Tom Hanks, I know, but who? I mean, and even Tom Hanks, I'm sorry, but, you know, he's kind of old and yesterday's news in a giant way. I mean, these are all the self-congratulatory Oscar people who no one is watching anyway. So it's like people aren't watching them when they're actually in movies.
But that'll be great because Hanks will give a speech, let's say, and then Biden will give his, and Biden will.
Oh, he'll look good. But what I mean, though,
he'll look awful. I mean, he'll just
talking about people though who understand how to use the media and who don't, right? I mean, these are people who don't understand how to use the media. They don't understand how to get people to watch. I think Barack Obama did a much better job, but yeah, Joe Biden, these guys are like, they're so, I think, blind.
Well, are they going to have inaugural balls? I guess not in COVID time. They can't have. What are they going to do? I mean, you're going to have a funeral procession? I mean,
well, probably they can't have Biden talking to that many people. You know, it's like when Pat Bowlen started to have dementia, the Broncos owner, he was going to fewer and fewer things. And every so often he would talk to players like Jay Cutler and cut him. And they'd be like, what? And then the rest of the team would be like, what?
Oh, he actually gave him a contract.
Or whatever. I mean, you could see somebody coming away from inauguration saying, hey, I'm the defense secretary now. I'm sorry, Homita. I'm the defense secretary. Joe just appointed me. And the other guy said, he just appointed me too. That'd be kind of funny, which is why they can't have it. But anyway, so that's our hope, Sandra. So that's our bottom line answer, that without that, then we'll have to have a whole other show and we'll try to find the pony. It'll be a little bit harder, though. What does she say? There's one other thing. Oh, see, Julie, you made my point. I think you want to, should that do it for us today? Do you have any other great thoughts to share?
I have lots of great thoughts there. Is there going to be a Republican Party that we can support? And that's really the question, because let's say Karl Rove's Republican Party. I mean, there are the people out there who love Karl, and particularly in Colorado.
Wait, who loves Karl Rove? His family?
Well, the Bushes love Karl Rove. And you know.
Oh, Jeb is like, I'm here. Like, pick me, pick me. Jeb, like, no, Jeb.
And so there are going to be ones. And are we going to be able to have those? Here in Colorado, I remember Bob Schaefer, who was a congressman, and he said, I've been in Washington, it'll never change. It'll never absolutely ever change, because the money boys will get in there and corrupt anything they ever touch. But I don't think there can be a Republican Party. Maybe here in Colorado. I mean, maybe Scott Gessler will head up the Bush one. Well, hopefully there are other people getting in that race. But I don't think they're going to be able to fool people again. I just wanted to see who Matt Kneedler was, what he was up to and all that. And so they had the usual circular firing squad where Colorado Politics interviews Matt Kneedler, who then promotes Heidi Goodall as a thing. And then it turns around and, you know, what a great thing we'd have. We had a Republican Party that backed people like Heidi Goodall and
Goodall. She's a CU Regent. She's the only statewide elected Republican. And that's just because she got in before.
Here's
the thing, Colorado Republican Party, unless, and this isn't going to happen because the Democrats aren't going to let us now. Maybe Tiger will run for governor or something like that. That's
Tiger's
the best.
Our dog.
Tiger's our dog. She was in the background there.
Good candidate.
Yeah, she would, but she couldn't hurt, basically. But I think, though, you made a good point in that people can't, we're not going to be fooled again. And I think
And there's no Republican Party left. I mean,
we
went to an event and everybody said there is. It's just gone. It's just, you know, they've got Hugh McLean in the statement party, McCain. and he is just an awful burger.
And they're going to try to do awful things in the state legislature again. They've got gun control. They've got safe injection sites. They've got all kinds of stuff.
And with Hugh there, they'll get it through because he won't fight.
He had one column out today where he was complaining about them changing the rules.
Oh, that way, Hugh. Take him on, buddy. Show how tough you are. Show how tough.
You've got folks like Patrick Neville there. It's not hopeless, Sandra. It's not hopeless. And I think Mark is absolutely right on this. MAGA Party is the Republican Party. The rest can start another party. Exactly. If they want to, anyone who flees the Republican Party, that's what I was saying at the beginning, Mark, is not a Republican. They're not on our side. Anyone who says we are not Make America Great Again, great. You're on their side. You're not in the middle. You're not moderate. There is no middle. You're either on the Make America Great side again, or you are not. And all of these people, like I said, who are like, you know, wear your mask, get a vaccine, stay locked down. There was no problem with the election, and you should be censored if you say there was. And the economy, we need to just give a bunch of money to government agencies, and that's the way to do it. But those people are not on our side.
And we just have to have, you know, the vast majority of Republicans in Colorado, no matter how many times the Denver Post tells you contrary, are pro-Trump.
Right.
They're absolutely pro-Trump. And they endlessly go out and they have Magellan strategy. Oh, no.
Not on our side.
We want Bob O'Pray's son-in-law.
Anyone who says that Trump is the problem is not on our side. That will wrap it up for us.
Wednesday,
we got Randy Corcoran coming on.
And that's going to be fascinating. He's an RNC member, and he's got a new
lawsuit that he filed, of which I'm a part. When we all got
there, you go. Hey.
Got smacked or punched at the pro police rally. So we'll have that. In the meantime, though, please like us, follow us, subscribe to us on YouTube, Facebook, The Chuck and Julie Show. Check us out. You can get everything at chuckandjulie.com. Thank you to Colorado Synergetics. Thank you to AmericasCitizenPress.com. And thanks to the guys back there at BBS.
Thank Thomas and the brothers and everyone else. And good Martin Luther King Day. And can't wait for that inauguration.
See you Wednesday.